Already felt his presence. I'm thankful he's meeting with us. And I sure ask the Lord to help us. Don't want to do nothing to mess up what he's already doing.
Amen.
Book of Numbers, chapter number 32. Share with you the thought that the Lord's laid on our hearts for this evening. I sure appreciate the Lord letting us be back. I enjoyed it so much last time I couldn't wait to come back.
That's right.
And I've looked forward to it and I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Yeah.
Book of Numbers, chapter number 32. I want to begin reading in verse number 1.
Get on it, God.
Give us a look, preacher.
Numbers, chapter 32, beginning reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Adaroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrath and Heshbon and Elead and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, Shall ye brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they were went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord hath given them. The Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed." Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you once again for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for each and every one that's here, what you've already moved and speak to our hearts tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand. I realize, Lord, you don't need me. Lord, I'm not important. Lord, how we sure do need you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me just to be a tool or a vessel that you might could use, that your will might be done, that your people might hear from heaven tonight. Lord, how we need your help. And Lord, all to do, we'll thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray and ask these things. Amen. You'll find here the passage of Scripture that we read. There's a verse that I want to take for our text in the latter part of verse number 12. The Bible says, "For they have wholly followed the Lord." I begin to think about that phrase, about that statement that was mentioned about these two young men. The Bible said that they wholly followed the Lord. And I begin to wonder just exactly what that was meaning, just to an extent of how much that really meant. To be wholly following the Lord means to be completely, to be perfectly, to be absolutely without holding anything back. And I sure am thankful that there were some young men, these two young men, whether it was popular, whether it seemed like the easy thing to do, whether it seemed like everybody else was going the same way, but they wholly followed God even though everybody else tried to discourage them. Even though everybody else said something different, they gave a different story. They was going to tell what God was going to do, and they was excited about what God had given them. It's amazing how different things look when we're looking in the right perspective. They wasn't looking at all the hardships and all the problems and all the things they was going to have to face. They was excited about the things they was going to get out of it. It ain't always all about the battles and all the things we have to fight. It's the part when you get done fighting. It's the part that you get to obtain after it's all said and done. They wholly follow the Lord. They didn't hold back anything. Giving everything. But you'll find there's still a small crowd even 40 years later. Even after they had to wander in the wilderness aimlessly, they didn't accomplish nothing. They didn't get nowhere. They didn't do nothing to be remembered for 40 years, just wandering around in circles. And 40 years later, and they still a crowd. They still some. They still 2.5 tribes that still don't want to do what God would have them to do. They still don't want to wholly follow the Lord and find God's will for their lives. Thought about some of the hindrances. I'll give you these and I'll be through. Number one, they loved their cattle.
Their cattle. There wasn't nothing wrong with them having cattle.
Right.
There was nothing wrong with that. That was their livelihood. That was what they lived by. That was their food. And that was everything that they depended upon was that cattle. But it got to the point where everything they worried about was their cattle. It meant more to them than finding God's will for their life. It meant more than their families. It meant more than their children. All they cared about was their cattle. They were consumed with their cattle. It's all they were worried about. So many Christians today, so many people can't get anywhere with God because they love too much cattle. Got too much cattle in their lives. They've got too many things, and they may not be bad things. They can be good things. It may be nothing wrong with what you're doing, but if it means more to you than serving God and finding God's will for your life, you need to get out of the way. You're not going to get nowhere with God as long as you've got too much cattle hanging around. They said, we'll go, we'll build sheepfolds, we'll build walls for our children, we'll go ahead and help you fight. We're going to stay here. Let this land be ours. And they should have not worried about the sheepfolds and just went with the rest of them. But they was too worried about what all it's going to cost them. Not only were they consumed with their cattle, but they didn't want to have to pay too much. It's going to cost too much. They were already satisfied with where they at. They wanted to get just as close as they could get without completely going over. They got just as close to the river as they could get without actually crossing. We know that Canaan was a type and picture of victorious, sold out Christian life, of serving God to the fullest, being in God's completely and perfect will of your life. And we know that they got just as close as they could get without ever crossing over. And I wonder how many people's getting so close but never getting nowhere. They may be close to there, but they're not accomplishing nothing. They're not getting nowhere. I mean, everything looks right on the outside. They're part of the children of Israel, and they ain't got nothing bad as far as they're not doing wicked things. They just got cattle, amen. But the problem was it meant too much to them. And they didn't want to give it up. It don't have to be sin tonight. It don't have to be something bad to get in your way to keep you from doing the best thing. Keep you from getting where God wants you to be. It don't have to be something big. It don't have to be something bad. Something little can keep you from doing what God would have you do. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than getting over into Canaan. I ain't been there a whole lot, but I've been there a little bit, and I sure enjoy what I've experienced. There ain't nothing no better than being in Canaan. I'm glad it's worth the fights. It's worth killing the giants for. It's worth tearing down the walls for. I'm glad it's worth it. There's nothing like serving God and being in God's will for your life. Problem is, we're putting too many limitations. God, I'll do this, but I won't go past that. God, I'll do this, but. God, I'll do this, but. Quit putting limits on Him and say, whatever you want with me and my life, with my family, whatever you want, it's yours for the taking. You can have it. It's all yours. I found out you can even be a preacher and still not wholly following Him.
Oh, that's right.
I surrendered to preach at the age of 16, 4 years ago. Give God what I thought was everything. I mean, I was tired of running. I was tired of fighting. And I just had to surrender and throw the white flag. But I was still limiting God on what He could do in my life. Lord, I'll preach, but. I don't want to go to China, Lord. I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to South America. I'll preach, but I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. And I still wasn't completely satisfied. A little over a year later, and I finally gave Him everything, and finally got to the satisfaction I was trying to get to. Finally got fully satisfied. Finally got to the place where I was trying to get to all alone. Problem was, I just had to get everything else out of the way. Clear the table, get everything out of the way, and just put Him first. I was on a missions trip out with Brother Moore out in Wyoming back in the fall of that year. We was holding youth camp with all the missionaries' kids and a lot of the other kids there out in Wyoming. And Roger Williams was preaching that night in the meeting. He's done going on with the Lord. He died last year in a car accident. When he was standing up our preaching, I'll never forget it as long as I live. He made a statement. It didn't mean much. It didn't seem like at the time to anybody else, but God sure did use it to buy a hole in my heart. He said, it ain't necessarily the people or the place that'll make you happy, but it's being in His will. He said, it don't matter who's around you or where you may be, as long as you know that you're doing what God wants you to do, that's the only time, that's the only place that you'll ever truly be happy and satisfied with your Christian walk. And I finally got to the point where I got myself out of the way and said, Lord, I don't care what I want. I'm not going to be happy settling for what I want. I want what you want. Whatever it may be, I finally got to the point. Lord, if you want me to go to Africa, I'll go. Lord, if you want me to go to South America, to some jungle, to some tribe, I'll go. If you want me to go to China and have to live in secret, I'll go. Whatever you want for my life, that's what I want. Sometimes if you ever want to be satisfied and truly be happy in your Christian walk, get everything else out of the way. Lord, I don't care what I want. Lord, I want what you want for my life. I want you to be happy with me. I wonder what all they missed out on just because they loved a few little cattle. I mean, that don't seem like a whole lot. And it don't have to be a whole lot to keep you from getting where God wants you to be. They belittled the will of God. Made it seem like it was not a big deal what God wanted for their lives. Made it seem like it wasn't a big deal. It don't matter if we're on this side or the other side of Jordan. It don't matter. But it does matter tonight. It does matter. So many Christians today, it's sad to say, but they're selfish. They want me, and they don't care which side of Jordan they're on as long as they're happy. But my friend, the will of God is important. Not only is it important for you, but it's important for those around you. It's important for your family, for your children. There's a lot of things depend on whether or not you get in God's will for your life or not. There's a lot of things riding on your children's salvation this season may be depend on whether or not you get in God's full will for your life, whether or not you serve Him wholly or not. Your children's salvation, your family as a whole. There's a lot of things riding on whether or not we find God's will for our lives or not. I begin to think as a 20-year-old, you know how young people are. I'm just being honest tonight. But you think about all the different choices and decisions that you make as you're growing up, trying to find the right mate, trying to do this, trying to do that. And boy, it hit me one day. There's a lot riding on this thing. I don't need to take this thing so lightly. You get the wrong one and you go to the wrong place and everything's ruined. I mean, my whole ministry's riding on a lot of things.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to lose that tonight. It's precious to me. And I want to be careful what I do and who I get along with and where I go. And it's God's will tonight. If we want it bad enough, I believe it's God's will for us to have revival. I believe that with all of my heart. You say, I don't believe it. It's done too far gone. It's awful dark outside. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how bad it looks. I'm glad He's still God. He's still on the throne. I'm glad He's not lost 1 ounce of power tonight. He's still able to send revival. He's still able to stir up a fire in this country. I'm glad He's still able to do that tonight if we want it bad enough. Well, like what He told Isaiah in Isaiah 44:3. He said, I'll pour water. He said, I'll pour floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. I didn't quote it exactly right, but I'm glad if you want it bad enough, He'll give you water. I'm glad He pours floods upon the dry ground. And it may seem dry to you tonight. If you'll just start asking, He might send you a good flood. And I'm thankful. I'm glad He's able to do that tonight. I'll give you this and I'll be through. They forgot what happened to their fathers. They'd done been through this once before. And because of their father's mistakes, that's why they wandered aimlessly in the wilderness. They could have done been in Canaan 40 years ago if they hadn't made that mistake once already. And here they are wanting to make the same mistake once again. Sometimes it seems like history has a way of repeating itself. I don't want that to happen again. I've seen a lot of churches, and I'm not boasting or saying anything like it, but I've seen it seems like churches get so close to busting out and having revival, but then something happens and they go right back the same way they was before. I mean, they get so close, but then all of a sudden they let something get in the way. A cow runs in front of them or something, and all of a sudden they're back to where they started, and they didn't get nowhere. They could have been there years before if I hadn't made this mistake once. And they're wanting to do it all over again. I don't want to make the same mistake twice. They should have learned from their mistakes. They didn't accomplish anything in the wilderness. They didn't get nowhere. Going in circles. I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians not going in circles. They're not getting nowhere. They're just going around and around, not accomplishing nothing. If they'd serve Him fully, they'd finally get somewhere. They'd accomplish something in their Christian walk.
Yes, sir.